Holy Scriptures. In addition, it is recorded in Mormon literature, Joseph Smith put his face into a hat and was given the Mormon scripts by looking into a seer stone. Where's the Holy Spirit in that? He's not there.
In Galatians 1:8 says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed."
That's a pretty heavy statement. If any other angel, even a holy angel from heaven, should tell you any other item about the Bible, then that's already been written by the, because what that means is then that we have given to you, that means what the apostles and the prophets who were direct descendants from the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew him face to face, had already said they were to be accursed. They were not to be believed. And that's what we've had happen to us recently in our modern history, is that the truths of the Bible have been under attack. We're going to go for a break and we'll be right back.
It's Crazy Money Day. Hey, I'm Chuck Bentley with the Crown Money Minute. Clayton and Carrie Law withdrew $4,000 in cash to build a fence. They placed it on their kitchen counter, and what happened next went viral on Instagram. Cecil, their 7-year-old golden doodle, decided to eat it. By the time the couple discovered it, Cecil had devoured all but some shredded $100 bills. They monitored him at home and pieced together the bills that he hadn't swallowed. And the rest? Well, they captured it when expelled, washed it, taped it together, and were able to recover all but $450. That's crazy. Be careful where you put your money. Every great accomplishment requires great commitment, even piecing together chewed up $100 bills. For help setting financial priorities, download our money map at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Truth Always Matters. Recently, someone posted the Bible was written by a man, and the person writing the post, could him or himself, herself write a book of the Bible? Others have said the Bible is not reliable because over the years, the church has changed it to fit the narrative of various church leaders. Let me start by addressing the first comment. The Bible has some 66 books written by 40 authors who wrote over a span of 3,000 years. The Jewish scriptures we know as the Old Testament date back at least 1,300 years before the birth of Christ. To author these books required a unique relationship with God, and much of what was written leads to the coming Messiah. It is also an accurate historical account. The New Testament was written in the first century. To be an author of the New Testament required living at the time of Christ, almost all of whom had a personal relationship with Christ during his time on earth. These writings contain prophecies and predictions, which, with the exception of events to occur in our future, are 100% accurate. They contain the moral principle practices of centuries by most civilizations. First of all, we have others who have attempted to rewrite the Bible. Would have to be of such high moral character and have a personal relationship with the creator of the universe, be able to predict future events with pinpoint accuracy, and have your writings have no contradiction with other books in the Bible. In fact, you'd have to start a whole New Testament. As to the second point, my wife recently bought a King James Bible printed in 1679. It's a personal Bible, so many of the old Bibles in existence are large. I call them 100-pound family Bibles. You've seen those big Bibles that are about 10 inches thick, and But this was a personal Bible, one that's about the size of our personal Bibles we use today. And in the margins were notes made by its original owner. Careful examination of the Bible reveals it exactly the same as the King James Bible of today. With that, we can establish in at least the last 344 years, there have been no changes to the Word of God.
The historical accuracy of the Bible has been proven through archaeology and history. We said this a few minutes ago. The accuracy of the Old Testament is attested to by the Dead Sea Scrolls found in the 1940s and thousands of pieces of archaeology that have continually been found since the late 1800s. It's amazing what they're finding over in Israel and in Jerusalem itself, that the uncovering coins and uncovering pieces of manuscripts and how it actually verifies not just the Old Testament, but it verifies the Israel nation itself and Jerusalem itself as belonging to the Jews.
The New Testament can be compared to original transcripts of the first century.
It's interesting to note, let me get my notes here.
Let me go on. There are thousands more New Testament Greek manuscripts than any other ancient writing. The internal consistency of the New Testament documents is about 99.5% textually pure. In addition, there are over 19,000 copies in the Syriac, Latin, Coptic, and Aramaic languages. The total supporting New Testament manuscript base is over 24,000.
That's like different pieces of manuscript evidence. The exceptions to true translations are paraphrases and versions called by some to be translations that are efforts to either explain the scriptures, with some wanting to rewrite the Bible to fit their own personal belief system. Paul says, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely and thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Bereans in Acts 17:11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures, Old Testament. That's all they had back then. The New Testament had not been written yet. They had the Old Testaments, and they searched the scriptures daily to make sure what the apostles and the disciples and like Paul, Apostle Paul, that they were saying what was in line with the Old Testament as they were beginning to come to Christ Jesus. Were these things so?
I'd like to have a frank discussion with you about the importance of using a reliable translation of the Bible in your studies and personal growth. Today, there are many paraphrases of the Bible that are misbranded as translations. A few, like the Living Bible and the Amplified Bible, can be helpful in bringing understanding to difficult passages. But you should always put your trust in what we describe as the inerrant Word of God given to us in reliable translations. Some others, even those who are well-meaning, can distort the scriptures. You'll find that some of these paraphrases are based on a personal interpretation. The Bible warns, however, in 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Have you heard of the Jeffersonian Bible? Thomas Jefferson had difficulty with believing the miracles of the Bible. His solution was to rewrite the Bible, excluding references to miracles. Muhammad was familiar with the scriptures, but rejected them in favor of replacing God with his moon god Allah and downplaying the role and deity of Christ. So, he wrote the Quran. Joseph Smith, through a vision he had with his head in his hat, dismissed the deity of Christ and brought a different God, one who was a man who became God by living a righteous life. An interesting side note, Joseph Smith used the same hat to locate water wells through visions. Others have attempted to make the Bible more easily understood or compatible with current society, which frankly, in some ways, results in the dumbing down of the scriptures. An example is the Common English Bible, written by a fourth grade level, which they say is intended to be a comfortable reading level for the majority of English readers, using gender-inclusive language. And as an example, the word grace is not found and is replaced with kindness. Yet others are designed to promote a doctrinal belief held by an individual or group of people. Jehovah's Witnesses wrote the New World Translation in an attempt to make the Bible fit their lack of belief in the deity of Christ. Of note, in the past half century, the New World Translation has gone through several revisions. More recently, the Passion Version. Brian Simmons is the translator of the Passion. Simmons states Christ appeared to him and commissioned him to prepare a new, fresh translation, including a new book of the Bible, which will be revealed to him in the future. The Passion has replaced the Bible among many churches in the New Apostolic Reformation and is biased towards their doctrines. In a 2015 television program, Simmons claimed that in 2009, Christ Jesus literally visited him in his room, breathed on him, and commissioned him to write a new translation of the Bible. The Message. Some Bible scholars say that Peterson's free use of breezy slang and eccentric paraphrases, along with colorful expressions that border on cartoonism, distorted much of the meaning of the original text. Eugene Peterson is the sole author of the Message translation. In contrast, the New King James Version was produced by 130 top biblical scholars. There are reliable translations that come from the original Greek. Be sure the translation you are using is based on early Hebrew and Greek manuscripts that have been accepted by the early church scholars, which we find in the Old and New Testaments. Georgie and I rely on the King James and New King James versions. Other good versions, such as the NIV, New International Version, and the American Standard, are reliable translations.
You can open your Bible if you have a King James version, and you will see at the very front page that this is a translation out of the original Greek. That's important to know because a lot of them are revisions or they're amplified. It's like when I was in the Jehovah's Witnesses. I've studied with them for 5 years. Was almost ready to be baptized, and I couldn't quit smoking. I was a smoker. And I studied their literature, read their Bible, and one day I decided to start comparing the Bibles. I started comparing the King James Version to the Bible of the Jehovah's Witnesses, the New World Translation. And there was such a difference. When I came to John chapter 20, and that's where you get your Doubting Thomas from. Doubting Thomas said, no, I'm not going to believe in Jesus Christ or that he's really risen from the dead unless I stand in front of him and can poke my finger into the holes of his side and into his hands. Well, Jesus did that. He came to him and he stood in front of him and he put out his hand and he said, here's my side, thrust forth your hand and see that I'm alive. This is me. This is really me. And Thomas, he fell down on the floor in front of Jesus. And he said, my Lord and my God, and worshiped him. And the first thing I noticed was, number one, he called Jesus my Lord and my God, and Jesus did not rebuke him, because the angels said when somebody worshiped them, no, don't worship me, I'm not God. But Jesus received the worship. And that's how we could tell that Jesus is God, because he received worship. If you're not God, you cannot receive worship. That was my first introduction to, oh, there's something wrong with this group here. And then I studied more and more, and I finally told them, I think I'm just going to read the Bible on my own. I think I can do that. And they told me, oh, no, you cannot read the Bible on your own. It has to come through us, because you can't possibly understand the Bible unless we teach you what it says. And I thought, that's amazing. Like, how does that happen? Like, I can't read. Is that what it's going on here? And no, we can read. We can read God's word, and we should read God's word every single day. It's thus saith the Lord to us. He's talking to us. But the thing that we should not do, well, I guess it's time to go for a break, and we'll continue this discussion afterwards.
Do you know what constitutes our Constitution? This living document that's a fusion of our forefathers' vision for the future of this nation? We have a Bill of Rights. We're not billed for these rights, but we've been given these rights because we live. We don't have to pay every day when we don't watch what we say. A penny for our thoughts is not what we give, but we give off our thoughts by the way that we live. And there are soldiers who've died, men and women who've paid the price, in the blink of an eye, given their lives to make our lives nice. And we can't fight to preserve these rights, to reach new heights, get through the darkest nights together if we don't know. We the people, we the future, can't make it right if we don't show an interest in learning the script that governs our lives. So forgive me if I'm wrong, but if you belong to this country, then there are rights that belong to you so long as you do one thing. You know your Constitution and your freedom that it brings. You can't fight for what's right. You can't find a flaw if you've never shed light on the supreme law of the land. The land of the free and the home of the brave requires your knowledge and God's good grace in order to save our human race in the face of terror. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you need to choose what you're going to do, because you could lose everything. Everything.
From AmericanThing.org.
Thank you for sharing your Friday noontime with us today. Today's program is brought to you by We Care Ministries. If you'd like to support this broadcast or become a sponsor, contact us by writing to We Care Ministries at 3208 Highway 32, Chico, California, 95973. Look us up online at www.wecareministries.us or contact this station, KKXX Radio. If you'd like to join today's program, you can call KKXX at 530-894-7325. Georgia, we began the program talking about truth always matters in every aspect of life. And we began with the idea of in our spirituality. And I think we can talk a little bit more about that, because what is it that we believe? And in your, you had talked about the importance of Scripture and how we needed to be use that as our foundation. I can recall as when I first came on fire for the Lord, I was I went to the Christian bookstore and I consumed every book I could find on what was everybody else believing, what was happening, and yet I didn't spend the Bible was not the center focus of that. I was looking at everything, and every time everything was being about, oh, God's doing a new thing here, and God's doing a new thing there, and yet the Bible is that source of truth. Jesus said that He is the truth, and so I had to learn to come back and find my foundation in the Bible itself, not in what everybody else was writing. And I think your experience was a little bit the reverse of mine.
Well, I think what happens is we take the Bible and we read through it really quickly. We don't study it, we read through it. So we'll take Genesis through Revelations, and we start reading, and it's awesome to do that. Don't get me wrong here. It is an awesome thing to do that. But we're not really looking at the content of what we're reading. Many times we're reading from an esoteric or spiritual meaning to the scriptures, and we're not reading what the scriptures themselves are saying, or for that matter, keeping them in context, like reading the verses above them, reading them in their historical context, because each one of these scriptures have a historical context to them. The writer's at a certain place, the writer's writing at a certain time, the writer is writing on a certain issue. And so we're looking at these scriptures and we're trying to find some type of spiritual meaning, something that's going to touch us today. And so we read through them quickly. We're not studying them. What we believe comes from that book. What I believe comes from that book. What I believe about God and my spirituality comes from the Bible. What we teach has to be in line with God's word. It can't be just a motivational message. It has to be a message that is from the heart of God. When we look at that, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. He wrote the word of God. That's the word of God. It's not just contains the word of God. It is the word of God from Genesis through Revelations. That is the word of God, and God is talking to us. Where do we go to church at? Does that church teach the Bible? Does that church teach sound Bible doctrines? Does that church teach on who the Lord Jesus Christ is and the Father is, the Trinity? Does that church teach a biblical message on how do you get saved? Jesus said, he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men and all women unto myself. Are we really lifting up the Jesus of the Bible? These are questions that we need to ask ourselves, and we need to be going to church. God's not, he's not cast the church away. He loves the church. Jesus died for the church. The church is covered by the blood of the Lamb, but we need to find a good Bible-believing church.
Along that line, Georgie, in my journey, again, I think I last week mentioned that I had grown up in in more of a liberal church. And I did not hear the scriptures coming from the pulpit. And in that journey, I ended up at a church in which the pastor was preaching straight from the scriptures themselves. And something in me really drew to that. There was something that the Spirit of God was using those scriptures to speak to my heart. And so, again, the importance of being in a church that has got a firm foundation. Is extremely important.
So in our everyday personal lives, ask yourself, are we truth seekers? I mean, I have to ask myself that a lot of times. Are we truth speakers? How often are we shading the truth just a little bit to keep ourselves out of trouble? Does our everyday personal lives reveal truth? Does it reveal truth in our taxes? Does it reveal truth in what we're doing or saying to somebody? Truth matters raising our children. In this day and age, this generation of children is just so under attack from the enemy of our souls. I cannot believe being a little child and having to hear, well, you're not really a boy and you're not really a girl. You do not have to worry about these things because you can be whatever you feel. So we have went from what is absolute to how we feel, how we think, what we believe in our own mind to be. And we've done that with God also. We've made God into an image in our own mind, how I feel, how I think. And it's not an absolute. It's not absolute truth. And we will only find absolute truth in the Word of God, in God's Word. that was delivered to us from the first century.
We live in an age of relative truth. You know, what is my truth? What is your truth? And that's why we really need a standard. You don't drive a car without a steering wheel. You know, you don't build a house without having a foundation to begin with. And in our society, we can fall into this idea of relative truth. But have you ever given a thought to the fact that who you are and your reputation and how you're perceived is on how truthful you are? Reputation is based totally on truth, not on, it can be made up by some folks and so forth, but true reputation, your true who you are, how honest you are, how reliable you are, how much you live your faith is of extreme importance, and that's where truth comes into our everyday lives as well. Now, financially, truth really matters in our financial dealings. Are we honest? If you go to the store and a clerk doesn't charge you for something, do you bring that to the clerk's attention? We buy and sell products. Some that we know offends the Lord. Are we careful about what our financial matters as well?
The other big question there is, do we trust God with our finances? That's the hardest thing. I have to say that I fret over the bills. I fret over the finances. And I'm always having to come back to, Lord, I trust you with our finances. I trust you with our bills. I trust you, Lord Jesus Christ, with my life, Lord. Because that's probably one of the greatest things that we face right now is trusting God with our finances. And the media, ask yourself. We talked about this earlier. So here in the North State, there's like 5 different networks. They're all owned by the same company. So you're basically watching a media that is owned by a huge corporation, and it dictates every single thing we read, we listen to, we watch. And so you have these little stations like KKXX and others, and they so need the Christian support. They need Christians to be praying for them. They need Christians to come and put their commercials on to support good Christian teachings. That's imperative right now. When we had our TV show on Fox 30, and then through circumstances, we had to retire the program, there was like a big black hole there. And if